Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. We gotta see. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy.
think I wanna hit the horns.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to The World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A this morning on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Weekend prior to 4th of July. How about that? So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication, the Garland Journal, as well as the Texas Metro News. No excuse for the news. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. We'll talk about some affirmative action. What a blow to the American society. It depends on who you ask about that, but it's quite interesting how that is going to unfold. I guess back to the old ways. Thurgood Marshall turning over in his grave because of the landmark decisions or landmark activities that occurred during his tenure. Shootings in Baltimore at a block party. Again, gun violence. What are we going to do? How are we going to control these guns? You know, again, guns are getting in the hands of the wrong folks. TSA, this weekend being the 4th of July weekend or 4th of July holiday, the volume is up at the airports throughout. Weather's been pretty decent. It's going to be in the northeast, kind of bad. Out west, a lot is going on. But in the Dallas area, surprisingly, it has been outstanding. And hopefully we can continue that. Again, 4th of July, I know we just celebrated Juneteenth, but 4th of July is the nation's holiday and also the nation's birthday, 4th of July. And we'll talk about some of the do's, don'ts, and in-betweens with people today. A lot is going on internationally over in Paris. The mayor of one of the suburbs of Paris, they attacked his house. How far are people willing to take things? That's what we need to consider. It has been a travesty of things going on throughout this country. Really a travesty of how got it. But we're going to get some people on the air here today. Again, you're listening to Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A this morning. Try to get everyone to dial in and use this number to dial in. Area code 646-200-0459. Brother Kurt, call that number for me. 646-200-0459. I want all our callers to call in that number, and hopefully my uncle will call in. We got something special for him this morning. Again, 646-200-0459. Go ahead and dial that and we'll pick you up. Just wanted to say happy birthday to you. So 646-200-0459. Okay. All right. We'll get him on, folks. That's my uncle from Tampa. We'll get him on and wish him a happy birthday. That's what we do. All right. It's about 14 minutes after the hour on this beautiful day. And we're just going to get some things going. I was just like really, really excited about today and 4th of July coming on. We talk about again, we talk so much about Juneteenth, and now we're going to talk about our Independence Day. Happy. And I'm hesitating a little bit because I'm trying to get on here, trying to find little Stevie Wonder. I guess we done changed things up a little bit. We'll get it on. Let me bring on my uncle, folks. I'll just go ahead and press one for him. Good morning, Brother Samson.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Well, good. I'm glad you could join me this morning. So much is going on in this crazy world. And talk to you a little bit about some things. Hold on one second. I got so much going on here. Trying to set you up to come on live, and we appreciate you joining us. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. You think I always forget, but no, I never forget the people that meant so much or still mean a lot to me. So I just always like to let you know that. Even for my days kicking you in the leg, I love you then and love you now. I guess I owe you a kick in the other leg now.
And I'm about to kill me in the gym.
Yeah, but those are some great times, man. Times I never ever forget. And I think I told you before that Lil Drew got me back for you, so in the gym.
Oh, yeah?
So, hey, he got me back.
Well, he got you back. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he got me back a little bit, but I was better prepared. Because he said, Dad, work out with me. So I started working out a little bit before. But, yeah, he still got me. Yeah. But a lot, what you got playing for yourself today?
Well, right now, I'm just sitting in my PJs, just rocking in my chair.
Okay.
And
all right.
I was trying to, get ready to go to church, but also keep messing with me.
Okay. Well, you know what? Affect all of us. But
got my back.
Cherry juice.
Okay.
Try that. That'll keep Arthur down a little bit. But you can't let Arthur win, even though he jump on you. You got to kind of shake him off and walk around a little bit more. But cherry juice will help with a little bit of arthritis.
Yeah. How D and everybody doing?
Oh, great, great, great. Everybody's doing absolutely wonderful. You know, Karen's is still abroad over in London. She'll be back in a couple of months, living her best life. Living her best life, and Lil Drew is living from Los Angeles to Miami, back in Miami for a hot minute, and then he'll be going back out to L.A., and I have them both out that way for a little while.
Seems like me, he don't have no choice. Either way, both of them are having problems. Miami having floods and California having water problems and fire.
Right, right. But you know what? You look at those situations, it seemed like life was so simple so many years ago. And now with these natural catastrophes going on and people tampering various things throughout this country, you never know what you're going to get. You know, we talk about your great state of Florida with your hurricanes. And I tell people out here, one thing about a hurricane, you know it's coming. It's not accidentally just popping up. They give you days to prepare. They just don't know exactly when it's going to hit, but they've gotten better over the years of prediction.
They've been coming. They've been coming big and powerful. Coming through.
Well, and I think that Al Gore, can you remember when Al Gore several years ago, when he was vice president, said that it was a problem with global warming?
Yeah,
the
they wouldn't listen to him.
Wasn't listening.
Wouldn't listen. No.
But I called you cold this morning. I know it's your birthday. And you were the age, you know, and we love you for it. I always say our age is our parents predicted our age. But what did you think when you heard this decision on the affirmative action that was rescinded this week?
Well, I think not only that, everything I think about the way they're trying to keep people from voting. They make a decision on they say while we sleep at night, other people up late at night figuring how they're gonna get power and money from you, and that's what happened. They're getting together, they figure out what they don't want you the kids to be talking about Black America, what happened in the Black age, which I was there when. The church was bombed in Birmingham, and the Ku Klux Klan was all over the place, You know, I didn't tell you what, when Appy Nappy brother stayed on the far next street from us when we were in Alabama, that the Ku Klux Klan was going to come down and bomb his house. But my father, rather than the house was on a, like a low level, they had to come down the hill to get to his house. My father and a group of men in the neighborhood, they was on that hill hoping that the Ku Klux Klan wouldn't come down, because they said they come down, they were coming back out. They had all they had their guns and everything. But when they tried to take the what happened in the early days of civil rights and the kids, they didn't want the kids to come to schools. But now they are the kids in the school. Now they're trying to get them back, get them to go back into their own neighborhood. They don't want them in the white schools no more. And that was happening in Florida now. And, you know, everything is different. When they say everything goes around, come around, it goes around and come around. And everything looking like it was back in the 60s. They don't want the kids, white kids, to know what happened to them, the black people during the time. They didn't want them to know anything about the Underground Railroad, Truman, the Truth, and the slaves. They don't want anything that people know about. The black people came over on a ship. You know, they don't want anything like all that. And now it's happening again. All the Republican states, they are banding together and try to discriminate black people from voting, lower the voting where they can't vote. And, you know, all this thing. I didn't mean to bend your ear on all this stuff, but this
no,
you
no,
know,
no.
You asking Jim.
But Kurt, this is what we like. You know, I had no idea that you and I putting two and two together of some of the things that you experienced there in Birmingham. You know, with the 16th Street bombing and things of that nature, right there, what I call the Mecca of civil rights, right there in Birmingham. But hearing this story for the first time, go ahead and tell us a little bit more. I understand, you know, and you've lived it. We've read about it. But nothing replaces people living it.
Well, you know, we all, and I would tell them when Marshall was coming up, I said, y'all have these, y'all go in the restaurant. When I was coming up, we had to go to the window in the back. We couldn't go through the front door in a restaurant. And the white bathrooms and black bathrooms and water, white and black, you know, that was happening back in the 60s. And, you know, that little girl that was blown up in the church, Denise McNair, she was in the neighborhood next to where I was. It's just like her neighborhood was like next door, I'm in one part of Ebro City, and the main part of Ebro City is about a couple of blocks away. But that's how far that little girl, the family stayed that close to me, and I always remember her name, Denise McNair. But that's what happened. And, you know, there's something that they don't want the kids to know about. Mm-hmm. They want that wipe that, memory from their kid's mind. They only, and if a teacher and everything taught that now in Tampa, the governor gonna fire the teacher, you know, fine the school system because they he don't want his kids to know anything. It go against Disney World because Disney World deal with all kinds of people, but he against the gay people. Disney World most of the dancers and everything at Disney World. He trying to get rid of Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the thing about that. That's their mind. Now, that's what they want to do. They want to get you away from all things that happen to black people. They don't know about the whole black neighborhood of Rosewood in Florida, where the whole town was burnt down. All black people got ran out, got killed and run out of that town. Most of them went to up there near Gainesville. And ain't nobody say anything about Rosewood.
Oh, absolutely. That's point well taken on that one. It's so much going on. But, you know, when you talk about what transpired in Birmingham, my thing, I've always kind of followed our route to where we are today. And you think about the little girls at the church. You think about how people were treated. A friend of mine, Roy Woods Jr., who is a comedian now, his dad was a writer for one of the Birmingham papers, and he would go and tell the story for our neighborhoods when they wouldn't even print anything for us in your Birmingham Sun or whatever the main newspaper may have been then. But he would go and with marches and give us a blow by blow of what was going on. I tell you, back in the 60s and the 70s, whenever we go back 50s and 60s, when they were having a lot of chaos going on, when they started talking about affirmative action and what it may have done for us at that point, we were able to run a little freer, but still they had a fence on the other side. You could only run so far. That's how I felt with the country. And now they put the fence a lot closer than what it used to be when you start turning back the hands of time. You know, will we get back to those days of bombing? I hope not. But it's apparent that some of these kids who, and I call them kids now, who are trying to run this country, had the silver spoon in their mouth, and they don't understand the struggles that people have gone through to get where we are today. You talked about when they're pulling back black history in these school systems, especially in the state of Florida, throughout, talking about being woke. They don't want to know the true history of America, how they've taken people from other parts of the world and bringing them here. And they have nowhere to go. All they know is the sun rising in the east and sets in the west. And that was the compass that we had at that particular time, going right through. So it hurts a lot when we talk about trying to turn back the hands of time. And then here you are, affirmative action, 6-3. Remember that three of the justices that were on this, that former President 45 put on the Supreme Court. Excuse me. And also knowing that President 45 put judges throughout this country. And if you had to play a card game, you could say he was trying to run a Boston, those who play spades, trying to run a Boston on the country. And now it's coming back. We should have known when he mentioned that I can kill somebody in the middle of Central Park or Times Square and I could walk away with committing murder. And that's what's going on right now with these thoughts. And
you know, one thing.
Go ahead.
One other thing. I don't appreciate how men to tell the women what they got, what they want to do, what they can't do with their fathers. These men, they act like they are kings over women. These women, they don't have no kind of say so on what to do to a doctor, and the doctor treat them. Doctor be scared because they afraid of they might get sued because because they prescribe something for a woman. Now women, we need to cherish the women. She need to. If the woman feel that something's gonna hurt her, we need to let the woman decide for themselves. Now you got a man gonna beat a woman or rape her, and then gonna deny her to have a abortion, and the woman is hurt. They need to leave the women alone.
And I agree with that. They should be able to make their own decisions. And that's what we do. We are now trying to control everything like they did before. Nobody said anything when they went back and went down to the big house, had the women come up there. They've been raped and misogynized,
yeah.
All of that. They don't want to tell that history or want their kids to know that history of how things were, how we have different complexions, things of that nature. They try to steer away from it. However, we like Skittles and I can't think of the other candy bars. We come in all kind of different shapes and colors. And we just need people to understand the true history of this country instead of them not wanting us to know collectively. But they're trying to steer away from telling all the truth. They don't want their kids to know how bad it was at that particular time. That's all they're protecting. And Curtis, what I understand or what I see, there are a lot of young parents that are pushing for this. People 30 and 40 years old who were not even a gleam in their eyes, their parents' eyes at that time. And they, we don't need this book. We read Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer. It was already all right to tell that story.
Yeah, they put all those books out the library.
Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy how things are going on.
Go ahead. One thing in a person's mind, and that person believe it, and then pass from that person to that person to that person, and all of a sudden you got a whole group of people thinking the same thing on the same way now. Like when Trump planted that the election was stolen, and that way before. It was president, the election. When he first started, he said the election would be stolen. And that's what people thought. They pre-planned it in people's minds. And then when he really got, elected, then the other people said, that's why he said the election was stolen. The election was stolen. That drained to it. Everybody, man, that believed in what Trump was going to do. Because, the mind altered to your ways, what they shouldn't do. Man, it's all.
It's just a travesty of what's going on, with this whole thing of what's going on in Washington, even with the you know, with the president getting all kind of pressures, a lot of people are not happy with what's going on in his presidency. And I know he's fighting all kind of factors throughout Washington, D.C., the opposing party, and it gets a little tough. But, you know, how can people forget what happened? How did we get to this point? But yet and still, you know how we got here, but you're trying to erase what transpired. Trying to let your kids know, or your young kids, grandkids, know that this country had ugly scars. Ugly scars with race relations. And they don't want them to realize what transpired. You know, yeah. I think this country would be a lot better if we just all just tell the truth. Put it out there and let them know that we're trying to heal from that. I think you'll get more with that than anything. For those who are listening, you're listening to The World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio 8 this morning. After the hour, I'm talking to one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, my Uncle Curtis. I tell you, we've been together a long time, 1970s, I guess, when you all had your wedding, 69-70, February 14th, I'll never forget the day, always looms large, and I found out more about him today than I ever knew about what went on in Birmingham, but he is from Birmingham. I think he told me the Roosevelt area, or was that a school, Roosevelt?
Yeah, Roosevelt was a city. A little black city in Alabama. They had their own mayor, police force, and the mayor and police, yeah. And before I went in the Air Force, he was driving. Good. And I don't know what happened. Birmingham just took over the area. They, you know, how they do. They come in and take over a certain area.
Uh-huh.
So Roosevelt City was no more. You know.
Wow. So that was Roosevelt City there in Birmingham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That story
can be told in a lot of communities throughout this country.
Yeah.
Just saying, you think of Chubb, Georgia, where they were totally independent of black community. The Chubb, if you follow professional football right now, Nick Chubb, the running back for Cleveland, his family had a municipality there in Georgia. Think about Rosewood, just to name a few. Throughout this world. And I'm sure in little towns here in Texas, it may have been all black municipalities that disappeared. But I think if I had $1 million, don't even need $1 million, if I had the ingenuity, I would create a watch that's running backwards. That would be just a way of showing the way this country is trying to go. We're not making any progress forward. They're trying to turn back the hands of time. So why not, if we don't go from 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we'll set the watch up backwards, because that's the way it's running in this country right now with affirmative action this week.
This is something you don't know. I was had basic training in Amarillo.
Okay.
Back in 68.
Mm-hmm.
Amarillo, Texas.
All right.
And that was in the last.
This is my uncle from Tampa, Florida, and I called to wish him a happy birthday. And he's from the Roosevelt City area in Alabama, which is now Birmingham, a suburb that was taken over by the city. We know how that works. And he's giving me some nugget today, because I've been knowing the majority of my life and did not know that I put the time together
of some of the things that were going through in Birmingham, Birmingham, Alabama. So this is, I've got my Black History this morning. And Curtis, I thank you so much. You're welcome to stay on. Any more nuggets? I want to make sure we get all of this knowing with the affirmative action, how things are going back. You talked about your father who they were defending their neighborhood, keeping it on guard. They said that people could walk in, but they weren't going to let them walk out. And that should have been the sentiment in a lot of places. But I know we were fearful. Even when I asked my dad, Curtis, he always said he wanted to make sure that he got home to take care of his family.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Your dad didn't take no mess either.
Yeah.
He didn't take no mess.
Yeah. You know, my dad gave me a story that they were working closely with Lyndon Baines Johnson, or better known as LBJ, there in the Tampa area. They were trying to better conditions there at the electric company at Tampa Electric, and they were getting treated all kind of ways. And LBJ was working with them trying to get groups together for a change. And then when Kennedy got assassinated, you know, everything kind of slowed down because, of course, LBJ had to run the country at that particular time. So, again, folks, even with your parents, if they're alive, take the opportunity to talk to them. You would be surprised the amount of history that they are carrying in their souls. And that way we can get a better picture so that we can continue the folklore. You know, remember, a lot of us probably had that class of ethics in talking about how stories continue to roll on because we talked about it with our families. And that's what we need to get back and doing, because a lot of the kids today would not learn what we may have learned. And I think the bulk of my Black history was learned in church. And one of the people I pride myself knowing is Clyde Allen, who was my Sunday school teacher throughout, who was a social studies teacher. Back in the day, you don't hear that. They teach American history, world history. I guess they won't teach any Black history. But for those who are listening, we need to make sure that our kids get the whole story and not so much the story that they're trying to portray. So a lot can be said about that, but talk. If you have some older uncles and aunts, talk with them and find out what may have transpired. And then once you find that out, make sure that your kids know. You know, they always say a mine is a terrible thing to waste. However, if we don't put nothing in it, it's going to waste. But at least give them that sense of pride that we've all had over the years, trying to make sure that we were better off than our parents. And I'm sure our parents were thinking that they wanted to be better off than their parents. But when you get a decision like we just got on Friday, 6-3 to turn back the hands of time. If you're not pissed, I'll be pissed off for you. You know, Curtis, we may have more than we've ever had, but everything comes with a price.
Yeah, you are about to.
We're not paying for it now, but you're going to pay for it later. The next generation will be lost due to the lack of history.
That's what you're trying to do.
Yes.
Trying,
you know,
to
how
do
can
it.
You move forward when you don't know where you've been? Those are the things that I try to preach. Understand where we've been in order to deal with today. You look at the presidential race. It's just unbelievable, some of the things that they're getting too comfortable. But yet and still, they want to turn back the voting. Right? Over 50 years ago, Bloody Sunday, in Montgomery, between Montgomery and, I'm drawing a blank, but I'll get it there, right there in Selma. Okay? People sacrifice their lives to make a difference. We had poll tax, anything to keep you from voting. And then when you start voting, things started to change. Thurgood Marshall gets on the Supreme Court in the 60s. They get affirmative action. Some of our parents, uncles,
that benefited were able to work for Xerox. That's an old name. Old name was Xerox, were very flexible. We got more blacks into the service. But let me get back to Xerox. See, a lot of people don't know, and you can tell your kids, Xerox, the name itself, they had copiers. They did much more. But you didn't make a copy back in the day. You Xerox. Hey, Xerox that. Now, some of you on here, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. That was the term for making a copy, Xerox. And then they, with affirmative action, some people that we know moved up tremendously in the rankings of their corporations because of affirmative action. They had to have one or two up in the big seat, up at the big house. And then now they're trying to curb it because they want to put us back in the outhouse. So what we need to tell our kids, continue to fight. It's going to be interesting with this affirmative action, with the Harvards and Yales. What are they going to do? I know they're going to change their focus and probably go by zip codes, work out special programs.
That's what they're doing. That's why they give you a zip code, because the first thing they ask you, you're trying to get some anything with any kind of financial things together. They ask you what zip code you're in. Each person's zip code states that what kind of neighborhood you stay in.
Correct. That's their tracker. And then when you throw them off, especially in the Tampa area, used to be 33607. You knew 33607 was everything west of the Hillsborough River.
Yeah.
And at one time, it was just blacks and Cubans on that side of town. I'm sure if you go into St. Petersburg, everything on the south side, they knew exactly your zip code. And then it got to a point, Curtis, I'll never forget this. When I applied, remember when the Higher Regency came to Tampa? Just for the heck of it, since Sunday morning, I can't say what I want to say. For the heck of it, I applied for a job at the Higher Regency. Now, you know my name. I made sure I put that across the top, Andrew Wiggum III. Oh, they were blowing the phone up. They were blowing the phone up. Come on down. We're going to get you down. I think I was in high school then. Come on down. We want to interview you for a front desk. I got there, Curtis. It was like, guess who's coming to dinner? Everybody faced
me.
Like, what the heck is going on? Who is this cat? And I said my name. They looking like, nah, that's not what we saw in the paper. Came up with every excuse not to give it. And I was just trying because of what Mr. Allen was telling us in Sunday school. Go out there and see what the world is about. And when you see what it's about, try to make a difference in the world, not only for yourself, but for others. Got that in high school. And those lessons still loom large today. It's about 50 minutes after the hour. You're welcome into the world. You're listening, to the world of Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum Live, and we're going to give it to you ungloved. It's all about the knockout today, affirmative action. And, folks, if you want to speak about that, just press 1. We'll get you on. I want to hear what a lot of people may have to say today after 6-3 with a conservative vote for affirmative action. Are we turning back the hands of time? I think so. They know so. But what do we need to do? What solutions do we have to offer to try to make things better? They pissed the president
off. You know,
I thought it was interesting. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, during the time when George Wallace was the governor of Alabama, and you know, he stood in the door of a University of Alabama to keep the blast from coming in, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the governor, the U.S. government stepped in. He had to, you know, he had to let the people in the door. But he was a, he was against black all along until somebody tried to assassinate him. The person that tried to assassinate him was white.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned to black people to take care of them because he was in a wheelchair.
He had a change of heart. That's what you're saying. When that bullet hit him. But you know, it's funny that you say that about Wallace. A lot of people don't know this. Now, with George Wallace, how he felt in segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. He got the bullet and he changed. And one of his nieces, if I'm not mistaken, ended up marrying Johnny Ford, who was the mayor, black mayor of Tuskegee. So you know he turned it over in his grave today based on the principles that he stood on. But to know that his niece married a black man, Johnny Ford, out of Tuskegee, Alabama. It's funny how things work.
Yeah.
As much as you fought for something, it had a flip to it on the other side.
What that song Shell sang about? What turned back a time? You know that song she drive? It's somebody turned back time.
Well, if I could turn back the hands of time, that one.
What is it? If I can turn back the hands of time, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the hands of time is slowly turning back.
Oh yeah, slowly. And I'm going to see if I have it in my music here. Turn back the hands of time.
If I can turn back the hands of time, something like that.
Yeah. I don't have it in our library. But you're so right about that. Excuse me.
But, you know, every song that the black musicians sung during that time, what had a meaning to it, like who that was, I can't think, but what's going on?
Marvin Gaye always had a lot.
Yeah, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Those are
meaning songs.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on during that period of time? And that song should be played during this time. What's going on? What's going on?
Well, we're gonna give you a little bit of that, Curtis, because I think it's very appropriate that this song was written over 50 years ago, and let me show you how relevant it is today.
Well, before you do that,
I just want to ask a question: who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares?
It followed the water crisis in Flint that began 4 years ago when the city started drawing water from the Flint River, exposing thousands of people to the toxic metal.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
25, it's going to be a black male in a white t-shirt.
There's far too many of you dying.
14 million more
you
Americans
know
would be
uninsured find
next
way.
Year. This deadly mass shooting
to bring
in Parkland,
some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war
I just wanted to give you a little snippet of what Marvin was trying to put out there in the world, and which is very relevant for today. Let me read some of these lines because it's so relevant right now. Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's too many of you dying. You know you've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, father, need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, but only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Just talk to me so that you can see what's going on. What's going on? What's going on? That's over 50 years ago. And Curtis, who would have thought that something of that magnitude would have to be said today?
Yeah.
You know, they always say that music is ageless. And it is true, truly ageless when it comes to what we're going through today. Too many of us dying in the hands of law enforcement. Picket signs. We got to go back to that, the picket. Protest. And they wonder why we feel the way we feel. Some of us have made it. We still have not gone to the Mecca, but we're able to stay in places that our forefathers would have dreamed of. Let me get real old school, would have dreamt to have. But yet and still, we're still not out there. They're still trying to find some mechanism to bring everybody back to the way they think things should be. You know, we talk about, go ahead, Kurt. Okay, I thought he was saying something. But, you know, we look at when you were in custody, of all the things that are happening in police custody. And that's some of the things that we hear. We don't particularly know every story out there. You know, we think about Trayvon Martin, George Floyd. You know, and throughout this country, Sandra Bland. The list goes on and on. How many people that don't have a name that we know or what they're going through in the streets? I still think, and I can't think of the guy's name, just most recently on the subway.
Oh, yeah, the guy that was acting like Michael Jackson.
Right. And he gets put in a chokehold by an ex-army guy, ex-soldier. At what point do you realize that he's not moving, even at a temporary state of suspension, not death?
Yeah, because your blood pressure go to your head. You stop the blood pressure from going to your brain.
To your brain, that's right. It only takes 5 minutes if you don't have oxygen in your brain to create some type of brain damage. 5 minutes. Well, how do you know that? That's a professional thing, I know. Just 5 minutes with no oxygen to your head can create a lot of different changes in how you go about
it. Well, I was playing with your aunt one time in your grandmama's kitchen, and I had my tie wrapped around my neck like I'm choking myself.
Uh-huh.
Next thing I know, I'm on the floor by the garbage can. It was just that quick.
Well, yeah.
That blood flow.
The carotid arteries. Yeah.
It,
the carotid arteries take blood to and from. You have a carotid artery that takes blood to the top. And, of course, the carotid vein brings it back down. So with that, look, I learned that at FAMU. Now, I knew a little bit before that, boy, I got to FAMU. But I thank you, FAMU. Thank you, Thomas Jefferson High School, especially Miss Joseph. Thank you. All that good biology I had back in high school. But all those things, you know, understanding when you put that chokehold. And I think all the times we played wrestling in the yard. And I never forget Goodwin. I can't think of his last name, my first name right now. He drop kicked me before I came in the house. That was it. That's all I needed.
Yeah, I remember once when somebody, I remember when somebody tried to block, drop kick you, and fell in a ditch.
Yeah. I fought dirty then. I had to fight. Because I got tired of getting beat up a couple of times. You know, and then I had to always fight somebody that had brothers. And it was long only me. But, you know, you grew. So I started, look, talking my way out of trouble. That was my M.O. at the time.
Well, you get caught doing that, but your mama always put you on lockdown.
Yeah, she did. I'm glad she did.
You stayed on lockdown.
You know, the lockdown thing, that's what they call it now. I was on punishment. I was the king of punishment.
Every time I turn around, you got to punish it.
And folks, we're laughing. This is my uncle that's telling you this story. Yeah, I got in trouble quite a bit. But I always talked my way out of it. I don't know. I still got that little gift of gab, being able to talk out of the situation. But those were things that shaped my life. And, you know, again, we can sit back and laugh about it now. But if we do more of that today of making kids more responsible, I think that the outcome will be a lot more favorable than what we're doing now. Because these kids are the fentanyl crisis. Just here in my area, is just real bad with kids in high school dying from fentanyl. And, you know, we need to pay attention to what our kids are doing so that we can make sure that the future is bright for them with no hiccups. No hiccups whatsoever.
They're on this, this thing they doing on TikTok. They have a lot of stuff that they do on TikTok that shouldn't be.
Well, the kids are trying to emulate a lot of the things, and it just needs censorship, a little bit more censorship. But they can allow that and other publications through that particular medium. They try to cut out. Again, it's about 5 minutes after the hour of 9. I'm Andrew Wiggum. I'm the host here of The World According to Drew. I have my uncle on from Tampa, wishing him a happy birthday. I tell you, he opened my eyes quite a bit of some things that when he was growing up in the Birmingham area, had to deal with George Wallace. And folks, if you don't know, go back and read the story of George Wallace, how he was treating the people from Alabama. My uncle was telling me that his dad, they were down on the hill, and they were saying if the whites came over, they wasn't going back. So it wasn't all, you know, just a lot of people lost their lives trying to save their own. You know, we talked again about Roosevelt City, which was a part of Birmingham, all black, thriving, and cut off from the state of Alabama, so to speak, because they had everything right there, similar to Rosewood that was located in Florida, similar to Chubb, Georgia, I'm sorry. Nick Chubb, they played running back. His family had a municipality. And don't forget Tulsa, when they had everything they wanted right there in one area. They called the National Guard to shut them down. They just couldn't do it. They realized that we were ready there in Tulsa. Then they're going to call the National Guard, U.S. Army, every force they can think of. They even bombed the area. That's part of the history that you never hear about. Set it afire, dropping firebombs. But they don't want that to be told. So why don't we kick the books out of our school system? We don't want our kids to know what really transpired. How did we get to today? By isolating all these black communities. You go to Houston, yes, we're there. but there's certain places still in Houston that you wouldn't want to be caught otherwise in. I always said that we've learned his story. His story. Well, why can't we learn and tell the true history of what America's all about? Last week we celebrated Juneteenth. It's been almost 2 weeks now. Juneteenth, the freedom of the slaves in Texas. When the Emancipation Proclamation was put together in 1863, took 2 years for the word to get to Texas that they were free. They kept it like that because they wanted to harvest more cotton. And can you believe this, Unc? That there's more cotton in Texas than that of Georgia, more than Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. You can go up, those who live in the Dallas Metroplex, you can go up 75. And we all remember a couple of weeks ago we had this shooting there at the mall, the outlet mall. If you turn and get off right there at Stacy Road, if you're going north, you're going to turn left. Go back towards Sam Rayburn, and you're going to see some million-dollar homes. But right as the last home that you can see, there is a cotton field. I said it's C-O-T-T-O-N, cotton field. Right before you get to Sam Rayburn on the left-hand side, in that case, that would be south side of the highway. And that cotton, I mentioned that because that was the real reason why they kept us for 2 years, so that we could pick the cotton. We could harvest more. We don't want them to know that they're free. So General Granger and his folks had to go around Mississippi, had to go around Louisiana, had to go around Texas to get to the shores of Galveston because they created a buffer so he couldn't get through. They knew it was coming. So he had to go all the way to the Gulf and come up in Galveston. For those who are listening, go back and learn the history of the world. But if you live in Texas, learn the history stuff. You'll be surprised. And this little known fact, I may have said it earlier, but I'll repeat it. Texas is the number one producer in cotton. Number one, that's why they were protecting it 2 years. And President Lincoln lost his life for freeing the slaves. Kennedy lost his life trying to make things better for former slaves. LBJ had everybody on his back to get this affirmative action going. Put Thurgood Marshall on the court. Then he get replaced by Clarence Thomas. Scandal with, oh my God, Nita. I think of him just drawing a blank. And now he sits on the highest court. And he votes against affirmative action. Usually I don't curse. I try not to. But in this case, I will say this. Damn. What was Clarence Thomas through his ride through affirmative action? Was he asleep?
Clarence Thomas he's not for blacks in a way. He got a white wife. And he treated, what's her name? He treated
Anita
Hill like a dog. And then, now she's got a good position. She teaches out of college now.
Mm-hmm.
But she
got a lot of stories to tell. She tried to give it to the Supreme Court on him, and they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to take care of him. But, you know, oftentimes I look at Clarence Thomas. I didn't think about that song, Stroking. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart, y'all. No, but everything that he's going through, and he can't remember how he got from point A to point B. If it wasn't for people fighting for him to get affirmative action, to be in a position where he can make a change. And now you vote against it? As Marvin would say, what's going on? What's really going on?
He didn't want them to put Jackson on the court, but she's there.
Well, and I tell you this. I hoped that before Biden leaves, that he has a choice. These folks are hanging here. They won't even quit until probably after he leaves. But if they have a choice, to go ahead and give them what they need to move forward. Because it's important. Numbers are important, even at that level. If we can get another Supreme Court justice, that might swing some things. You have to remember that 1945 put three people up there. And they told him not to do it, and he did it before he left. That's crazy. Had President Obama followed those same pathways, he would have been mud in the eyes of American citizens. Not everybody, but the controlling part. Simply crazy. All right. Well, Uncle, hold on. We have a lady that's supposed to come on, and Dr. Rodriguez, are you on?
I'm gonna have to leave you right now, but what I want to leave one last thing for you. You and your wife, on the 7th of July, y'all was born, y'all was married, and I was gonna say happy anniversary. But no.
All right, we thank you. Well, I tell you, family, you got to write a script for family. But no, I appreciate that. You very much. You and Auntie were there. Love you much. And I want to publicly apologize for having you work out with me.
That's okay. I bounced it. That's the vow. All right.
It took you many years. Look, it took you many years to survive, but I thank you for at least going up there to the gym with me.
All right, then.
All right.
Okay. You hear from me for your anniversary.
All right. Happy birthday.
Okay, gentlemen. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was my uncle, y'all. It's good to get some people in that you know, and absolutely wonderful, wonderful. Dr. Rodriguez, are you on here for me? Just press 1. We'll get you on. Very good. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
I introduce to you Dr. Rodriguez. We thank you so much. Look, before you start, that was an uncle that could tell you everything. I'm sitting here on the button now trying to, what was he going to talk about? You know.
I had to go and look up Roosevelt's.
Don't tell everything, but you know what? Our family was kind of small, and this was my mother's sister's husband. I kind of grew up. I remember when he was dating my auntie, I kind of kicked him in the leg. So I saw him hugging her. Like, you ain't hugging my auntie. No. So those are some of those light moments. But we're so excited. Let's go through your spiel, and then I'm going to ask you just something to think about.
is when the 6-3 decision came down on Friday about affirmative action.
I think it was on Wednesday. I already looked it up.
Was it Wednesday? I don't know why I thought it was.
The decision was Wednesday, but they didn't start reporting it until Thursday. It wasn't really a trender on Thursday. It was like maybe the third trending on Twitter, maybe.
But when it hit, it hit. But the response, I believe, came on Friday with the president.
Are you talking about, yeah, okay. No, it was some responses before that, too.
Well, it may have leaked. Look, it may have leaked. Mm-hmm. Let me read this right quick.
Okay.
In context of allocation of resources of employment, the practice of policy favoring individuals belonging to groups regard as disadvantaged. Now, that was some verbiage. I wish they could have changed that. Or subject to discrimination. That's what affirmative action was back in the day, back in the 60s, disadvantage. I always say that Clarence Thomas had the opportunity to go to Harvard. A few people, I have a good friend, his brother came to SMU in the 70s when it wasn't very favorable, especially in Highland Park, to have some blacks to attend SMU. You know, they got the athletes, but like I said, this was mid-70s, prior to Eric Dickerson and others. So we're going to look at that, but I'm looking forward to what you have to tell us this morning. And let's go.
Before I even start, you know that day that they were talking about those millionaires, billionaires, they were on their way to look at the Titanic?
Yes.
That was the day that the USDA approved that lab-grown meat to be sold to the public.
Wow.
Did you hear about that?
No.
Lab-grown meat that I was talking about?
Right. I remember you touched on it.
Well, USDA approved it, so it can now be sold to the public here in the U.S.
Now, are they going to label it differently, or are they just going to say
I don't know yet. I know it. I know what company. It's two companies. One of them is Upside. I know Upside sells it, but I don't think they put Upside on their labeling.
Mm-hmm. So if they're producing meat. You know what? Mm-hmm. If they're producing meat, I wonder what lasting effects would that have on our population?
I guess we'll know soon.
So I guess they'll label everything as being real cows versus lab cows.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you scared me now. I think I'm gonna eat more chicken.
They can produce everything there. They can produce chicken. They can produce fish. Yeah, they can produce it all.
So it's not like people may become vegetarians.
They can label it under that, too, because it actually comes from the cells. It's not actually killing an animal. So it's vegan and vegetarian friendly.
Ooh, all my life I had to fight.
Okay, well, are you ready for those?
I am ready for my lesson.
Okay, get that pen ready. Okay,
it's
the
ready.
First one you wanted to talk about was strawberries. Now, strawberries are in season right now. You can run out and get you some. They're a top source of antitoxins. You know, those antitoxins actually protect your cells. They also neutralize the free radicals, which means that all that unstable oxygen molecules that be damaging your cells and causing diseases, strawberries are good for reversing that. Because there's a lot of free radicals, they contribute to the heart disease and cancer. Strawberries are also full of vitamins. Just one cup of strawberries provides 98 milligrams of the daily allowance for men and 75 for females. So that's pretty much 100% for you. It also reduces the cardiometabolic risk. It lowers the risk of diabetes by improving insulin resistance in obese adults. And it reduces high LDL. It also supports cognitive function by decreasing cognitive decline. So it helps with people with confusion and memory loss. It reduces the risk of Alzheimer's. And then
okay.
the flavonoid, which helps color the strawberry, and the anthocyanins and vitamin E, that's what reduces the risk of Alzheimer's. And it says
wow.
that eating strawberries more than twice weekly delays cognitive decline by up to 2.5 years.
Okay.
And I was talking about the Sorry?
It looks like my store is going to be missing some strawberries this week. Okay.
Yeah. And then I was talking about high LDL earlier. It also improves cholesterol levels. And then it's real good for inflammation inside your body because, you know, like the immune system, that's one of its responses is inflammation. And chronic inflammation is usually accompanying heart disease, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, and other diseases. So they're saying it's a clinical trial. Suggest eating strawberries may help reduce blood sugar levels and inflammation. And it says especially when consumed within 2 hours of a meal. So consider reaching for some strawberries between, I say, lunch and dinner. And newer research is also just suggesting that strawberries have potent prebiotic activity in the gut. And all this means is it helps boost the growth of the beneficial probiotic microbes in the gut. It also increases the abundance of the gut microbes in only 6 weeks. And that also helps the anti-inflammatory efforts.
Mm.
So that's your strawberry.
And you know what? I guess, folks, when you have your strawberry daiquiri, you get all kind of antioxidants and you know what? That's what people are going to start saying. Well, maybe I need to get a strawberry daiquiri next time. But folks, now the alcohol is going to kill all the impurities or all the fixing powers of a strawberry. Now, it's funny that with strawberries, where I grew up in Tampa, there's a place called Plant City, Florida. At one time, they were saying that they were the strawberry capital of the world, and I'm going to see if they still have that title here. But I tell you what got me into education was the fact that my mother made sure we had a hand on everything. So if you don't get your lesson, maybe you need to go out here and be a migrant worker and pick the vegetables or fruit. Oh yeah, I pick strawberries. I pick green beans. Yeah. She
made
don't
they have a strawberry festival every year?
I'm sorry?
Don't they have a strawberry festival every year?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. The strawberry festival in Plant City, Florida, which is about, oh, maybe 15, 20 miles from Tampa, but it's still in the same county, Hillsborough County. They have a strawberry festival. They do. But, you
I
know,
remember, like,
was,
I think the first year I was living in Orlando, I think I did go to the Strawberry Festival, or else my son went.
Yeah. Well, you have so many different dishes they had. I may try to pull it out. Plant City now, it was out of town, but now they consider themselves a suburb, about 20 miles east of the city. And between Orlando and Tampa on I-4. Okay. I tell you, when I moved here to Texas, I did not know what a suburb was. Did not. Because in Florida, every city kind of had its own independence. So if it was in the county, now they're looking at it as being a suburb. Plant City, Lutz, Brooksville, Clearwater of Tampa or St. Pete, all those towns. You know, I didn't know what a suburb was until I moved to Texas. Because when I first moved here, believe it or not, I was shown so many different apartments initially. I wanted to make sure I saw some in Garland, Mesquite that were beautiful. Farmers Branch. But I say that no one would believe that I'm in Dallas unless I have a Dallas address. And that was just the way I thought. But then now, you can go Irving, a lot of places, which are considered suburbs, and everything is there. You know, you can move around, do this, do that. But that's just being a product of your environment, not knowing. And I know people from just basically the same background as myself may have encountered the same way. You know, being in certain places, Frisco, Plano, or they can just say, hey, we're a city by ourselves. But again, just to get to that point. Go ahead and finish. I'm excited. Got a strawberry. Got make me a strawberry. It's Sunday. I can't. Strawberry cold drink. Cold drink. All right. What's your second one today?
Okay. The second one is jasmine.
I know her.
I didn't realize that you can inhale jasmine. But
I know jasmine.
Spray it, whatever. But you can inhale it, and it improves the mood, it reduces stress, and it reduces food cravings. So I was looking around. I'm trying to find me some jasmine so I can spray it in my office.
Okay.
It also enhances
the
immune.
What does it decrease?
Huh?
You mentioned about mood, some of what jasmine
offers. It improves the mood, it reduces stress, and it reduces food cravings.
Okay.
You can use it to enhance the immune system. It boosts blood circulation, and it optimizes hormonal levels, relieving the stress and alleviating diabetes. And it's also a natural antispasmodic. You know, it helps relieve muscle pains.
Okay.
In the past, it's been used for, like, liver disease, especially like hepatitis, pain due to liver scarring, you know, like cirrhosis, abdominal pain due to severe diarrhea, like dysentery. It can also be used to prevent stroke because it causes relaxation. It can be used as a sedative. So, yes, I guess you can use it to go to sleep. It also heightens sexual desire, so it's an aphrodisiac.
Jasmine?
Yep.
Oh, okay. It's Sunday. I can't say what I want to say. I'm going to respect Sunday. So it's an aphrodisiac.
Uh-huh, it's an aphrodisiac. And it's also been used, like, for, you know, cause relaxation, you know, after or during a cancer treatment. You can also rub it on your skin. I guess that would be like the jasmine oil, and like you can rub it on your skin, and it reduces the amount of breast milk. So I guess you would decrease, I guess, leakage. It's also, let me see. Oh, you can use it for skin diseases, and it speeds up wound healing. And the antitoxins in the jasmine flower help gastric enzymes by boosting your digestion. And it also relieves flatulence, abdominal pain, diarrhea, dyspepsia and irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay. Wow.
I
was just thinking about summer breeze makes me feel fine. Blowing through the jasmine in my mind. All right.
Oh.
Now I understand.
It also functions to promote the growth of good bacteria in the gut. And it can help eliminate harmful bacteria and those AMA toxins from your body. It's also beneficial for promoting health function, and it reduces the risk of heart ailments. And I didn't know that it had anticoagulant and anti-fibrinolytic properties. And that's how it helps to reduce the bad cholesterol, you know, the LDL. It also helps prevent blockage and formation of clots in the arteries. It helps to prevent abnormal heart rhythm, heart attacks, and atherosclerosis.
Okay.
And then it also has EGCG. And it has epigallocatechin and gallic acid in the leaves. And these right here prevent weight gain. And it prevents weight gain by speeding up your metabolism. Mm-hmm. Okay, these leaves can also help, like, wash out the harmful toxins from the body. And it, like I said, it burns out excess fat faster. So that's from the leaves. So I guess you'd be making tea with the leaves. I've never had, I probably have, though, jasmine leaf tea.
I better try that. I've never tried it.
Yeah. I know I've had the flowers before, but I can't remember if they had the leaves in there also.
I'm thinking that song, Summer Breeze, makes me feel good.
Yeah. Now, that breeze can improve brain activity, and it helps because it secretes mood-enhancing neurotransmitters, you know, like serotonin and dopamine.
Right.
And that summer breeze that you're talking about.
Look, put you in that Seals and Crofts. Put you, you know, they were getting high. Let me see the lyrics. Uh-huh.
Jasmine,
let me read
baby?
Yeah, for your stuff. Summer breeze makes me feel good. See, that's what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the people that were singing the song. Summer breeze makes me feel good. But see the curtains? See the curtains hanging in the window. It's the evening on Friday night. A little light shining through the window. Let me know everything's all right. Summer breeze makes me feel good, blowing through those jasmines in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel good, blowing through the jasmines in my mind.
Jasmine provokes memory capacity, focus, concentration, calmness, and alertness. It's a brain booster. And it's real beneficial in treating depression, insomnia.
Okay. Wow, we learn something new every day, and I appreciate
that. It can also be used for alleviating blood sugar levels because, like, drinking the tea, it helps production of insulin from the pancreatic B cell. Oh, and I didn't know this. It's like they said if you regularly consuming jasmine as tea or in your dishes, it reduces the breakdown of starch and glucose.
Okay. That summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmines in my mind. Isn't that something?
And if you ever have like a cut or any type of minor wound, you can actually apply some of the jasmine oil on it, and it just gives you instant relief.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know.
All right, and every jasmine, I know I'm gonna make sure I sing that song to them this week.
They got that common effect. So strawberries and jasmines.
Mm-hmm.
Eat some strawberries, folks. Help with your mind. Jasmine, she can, which is decrease stress, increase your mood. You know, those are things to remember. I'm just laughing because I know a Jasmine and I'm going to sing this to her to tell her how badly she's been in life.
Well, I know one of my coworkers used to, I guess, grow the Jasmine, and she would actually put some in a little little thing and put, she would smell like Jasmine every time I was smelling. She said she would pull out this little pad, this little package, and say, "Oh yeah, I have some Jasmine right here." So she was wearing Jasmine as a perfume.
Okay. Trying to attract all the bees.
Yeah, sure, she was.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of putting it, attracting all the bees. Let me see if I can find out some more images of it. Looks like a little white flower.
Mm-hmm.
All looks like a sunflower, but it the leaves are downward. They even look like roses, carnations.
Oh. I've only ever seen it crushed, and so that's, you know.
The summer breeze makes me feel fine. Going through the jasmines in my mind. Yes, Dr. Rodriguez, as always, we have a disclaimer stating that folks still go to the doctor and follow the doctor. These are other things that you may add. They may assist you in getting back to 100%. But follow, please follow your direct order of your physician. You know, we don't want you to say, Dr. Rodriguez and Andrew told me I need this and that's it. Nope.
Yeah, so you don't want that at all. Like when your Uncle Curtis was talking about Roosevelt City, did you look up Roosevelt City?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like
it's now
really
a part. Yeah. And
did he tell you that it was
funny that I've been knowing him since I was six, I guess.
Hmm.
You know, he came into our family, and you know, he talked. He was always kind of quiet. But, you know, I remember when he asked my grandparents, well, my auntie had in marriage. I was there. I was trying to see what was going on. Didn't understand what was going on. But enough to, you know, as you get older, you would know, you know, as time went on. But, yeah, Roosevelt City, huge. He said he even remembered, I don't know when you came in, living through that with the little black girls bombed at the 16th Street Baptist Church.
Mm.
And they were so mad, he said his dad and the other men of the neighborhood would defend Roosevelt City because when they came over a hill, they were ready to fight. They were going to protect their homes and their families. But now it's not even there. Not even there. I was pausing there because I was trying to just kind of envision the fact of what they may have gone through during those days. And, of course, with George Wallace, things were just crazy. Crazy for them. But, folks, again, that's Roosevelt City in Birmingham. I guess they incorporated the area, but they talked about
they did.
And that can be done too, except for Joppy here in Dallas. Joppy still has its own little independence under the city of Dallas, but
At one time, that was some fertile ground. They kind of put them over there because it would flood a lot.
Wow.
In that area. So it's over there by the train yard, one of the main train yards of Dallas. It's something to behold. But, folks, again, look at Roosevelt City. They have a nice picture of a police officer. They control their own thing. So I know that George Wallace and them were hot as fish grease when he came to Roosevelt City. And I'm glad he said something because I will get back with him and learn some things. And that's why I said it's so important that we talk to our family members. You never know what they're possessing between their ears and what stories they can tell you. And I had a history-making uncle and didn't know it. But you better believe I'm going to talk to him now to find out and see what's going on. Because I never forget when we met him, he was in the Air Force and typical airman. He said he did his training in Amarillo. He had a good friend. I think Dave was from either Grand Prairie or maybe Fort Worth. And he had a little twang, the Texas twang. They went on a double date, and it was just so funny. The lady that he married, you know, he was dating, and he said, "Hey, do you have a girlfriend? I got a partner." And the girlfriend was my aunt. And they got together, I think, in 1970. I was a little shorty then. But I remember it was Valentine's Day in 1970. And, you know, she's deceased now. But I check on him, you know, like he was my mother's brother or something. Because he's just been a part of my life. And I share this story with you quickly. I was a health, but, you know, buff, and I need to get back to that. But I was all conscious about working out. So I asked her to work out with me, went down to the school. It's something when I had the keys to the school. I was a student and had the keys. We went in there and worked out, and he didn't talk to me for about a month because he was still hurting. And I told him, just put it in there. Let's go. He was so bad. And my grandfather actually got very pissed off at me. You know, he couldn't do all that weightlifting. I said, but he wanted to keep up. So when I told him I did the same with my son, he said, ooh, somebody got you back. I love it. So those were the things. But getting serious for a moment. Folks, talk to your family members. You'll be surprised at some of the experiences they may or may not have gone through. That's the key. The way stories have been told over the years with folklore, we've been aware of just talking. Talking about everything. Learning, sitting down, finding out. Kids, parents, find out. Talk to somebody older and see what they have to say about a lot of this stuff. How the country was so tight, they were afraid to move left or right with some things. You never know how things were, but you have to ask. And we find that in our business of medicine. You got to ask. If you don't ask, they ain't going to tell you. That's the key. They will not tell you. But put some jasmine in your life. Ooh, Lord. Some jasmine. All right. Now, you know, we celebrated Juneteenth a couple of weeks ago. Now it's the 4th of July. And we'll give you, you know, we'll give you the skinny of the skinny as it relates to our Independence Day. Independence Day, also known as 4th of July, was a federal holiday in the United States, commemorating the Declaration of Independence, which was ratified by the Second Continental Congress, July 4, 1776, establishing the United States of America. The Founding Father designates the Second Continental Congress declared the flag of 13 colonies. Now, folks, that's your history there. I'm sorry. My thing went on a blank, and you heard me pause there, but it's back up. So with the Declaration of Independence, Second Continental Congress of 1776 established the United States of America. With the Founding Father delegating in the Second Continental Congress declared the 13 colonies were no longer subject or subordinate to the monarchy of Britain, King George III. We're now united, free, independent states. The Congress voted to approve the independence by passing the Lee Resolution. Very, very nicely done there. Understanding with Independence Day. Some people, the main question, Dr. Rodriguez, you grew up here in Texas. How did your family handle Juneteenth Day and regular 4th of July? All right. What else you, anything else you want to add to us? I had one of those moments. I was just kind of envisioning some of these things that were going on with Independence Day. Who really has the independence? I know we were still in bondage and a lot of free labor. And it just, it really upsets me when people don't want to discuss the history. Constantly we're receiving his story according to what they want. But again, the men and women that lost their lives trying to make a difference in this world. That's what we need. That's what we need. So, Dr. Rodriguez, I hate to cut you off. Anything else? Did we lose Dr. Rodriguez?
I'm sorry, I might have had myself on mute.
Okay.
But Texas continued to get free labor. What they did was if you happened to be standing on a corner in any town, you just get arrested, put in jail, and then they would actually loan you out to people who needed you.
Okay. Makes sense. I believe that.
That's how they got around that in Texas.
Well, they're trying to get around it now. Affirmative action, if you didn't know, a landmark decision on, and that's what I was looking for, 6-3, and I want to make sure that we report it correctly. Dr. Rodriguez is on her stuff here. 6-3 vote on affirmative action. I wanted to see. When did that transpire?
Didn't they have two votes? One was 6-2 and the other one was 6-3. One of them was for North Carolina and the other one was for Harvard.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing, the young lady who, Tonja Brown, what is it, Jess, the Honorable, you know, she, I think she sustained it because of the Harvard review that she worked there. Probably part of that argument when they brought that forth. Let me again, now it's coming up. Independence Day, okay, federal holiday, again, commemorated Declaration of Independence, raffled by the Second Continental Congress. 1776, established the United States of America. We told you about the 13 colonies. We want to make sure that, understand the history. again, folks, we've always heard his story. But let's put the pieces together. We all are very capable of comprehending everything that we read, just a matter of getting practice. But we want to make sure that the Founding Fathers, delegates of the Second Continental Congress, declared that the 13 colonies, again, will no longer subject or subordinate to the monarchy of this event. So Independence Day, look at the background during the American Revolution, all the way down. Very similar to what we just experienced a few weeks ago with Juneteenth. Independence, the million-dollar question. Which one do we serve? Do we serve independence, or do we serve Juneteenth, or do we do both?
I do both.
I figured you was on mute. I was trying to wait for you to say something. Say it again.
I'm going to do both.
Okay. And there needs to be a way of commemorating both. That makes sense. I know that non-black is not going to say much. However, our counterparts will say, Independence Day. Yeah. So a lot is going on, folks. I see that we're at a point where we just need to just rally ourselves to a point where we could get things accomplished. I look at some of the educators that are associated with these schools. Need a break. They need a break. And these kids are so much challenging. And let's go back in history for Dallas Independent School District or Dallas metropolitan area in 05, I believe, when they had the Katrina catastrophe there in New Orleans, where a lot of those kids came on. Some were ready, some were not. Those who were not were part of, I guess, that revolution of coming in and fighting. It's crazy. Well, I'm trying to think, Dr. Rodriguez, as we bring things to a close, let me check and get back out here and see if somebody's on wanting to get on. We have a 21473. I'll leave it at that. Did you have any comments? What do you think about the change of the affirmative action? I would love to hear if you have some comments. Just press 1 for me, and we'll get you on to say something short. We have about 4 minutes left, and that's 214-738. All right, they didn't want to say nothing. Well, Dr. Rodriguez, I thank you, as always, for what you've done for us here on the show. Good old Jasmine and Strawberry. And you know what somebody going to name? Well, they have named the kid Jasmine. I don't know about Strawberry, but I'm not going to say they haven't. Because we got kids named Pumpkin. Pookie, Riri, you name it, we come up with some names. So as we prepare for this 4th of July, we want everyone to be safe. In Baltimore last night, they had a killing at an event. And we have to be very, very careful as we go. And I was going to go over some of the shootings, which is unfortunate. I still have a little time left. Since last weekend, Well, last weekend, Asheboro, North Carolina, four people were shot, no kills or deaths. Union, South Carolina, four people again shot, no deaths. Broad Ripple Village in Indiana, three people killed, one injured. Temple Hills, Maryland, four people injured. There. So make sure you get it in. All right. I've got my cue. Dr. Rodriguez, again, thank you so much for being who you are. I think we found your spot in space. And I just enjoy doing it. Again, folks, let me give you a disclaimer. She gives us some great things, but still go see your doctor. Don't say, well, I was told to take Jasmine or this. No, no, no. If you want to take Jasmine, which that would do it. But again, we got so much going on, so little time. Be careful, folks out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Be prayerful. And always remember, put God first. Dr. Rodriguez, I thank you. Much love to you, my sister. We'll see you on the AM. Whatever you do, wherever you go, always remember, we only have one time, God.